Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
Well, church, I want to encourage you first by saying we serve a very, very great, I believe you already believe this, but it needs to be said, we serve a very, very great, big, and powerful God. All right, not only do we serve a great, big, powerful God who sits on a throne in heaven of glory and majesty, but we serve a very great, big God whose presence is right here in this room. His Spirit is right here. And if you agree with that, say amen. Awesome. Well, if you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. I want to start off by asking, by show of hands, how many today could use a legitimate healing from God? In a physical healing. Raise it up high. I need a healing from God. I don't care if it's cancer. I don't care if it's a cough. I don't care if it's a bulging disc in your back or a sprained ankle. If you need a healing from God, raise your hand. All right. I believe that. I believe that this word today, the Holy Spirit gave to me, and I don't believe he does things by accident. And here's what I believe. We're not going to have to form a big line up front. I'm not saying anything's wrong with that. In fact, I agree with that. But I believe today, for what's going to happen, is the word is going to be preached, and you're going to be healed as you receive the word. Not because of me preaching it, but because of the way the Holy Spirit orchestrates things. So I'm going to preach the word today. You're going to receive the word. The seed of faith is going to be planted in you. And right now, where you are sitting, you're going to be healed. And let me just explain. Let me set this up so that you know and that you can receive and I can just build your faith right now. I've been praying for a while about this. And last week, I was talking to Rick Bertolio about it. And I believe that God wants to heal you today. Healing isn't just something that happened a long time ago. It's for us today. And what I believe is going to happen with all of my heart, with all of my soul, is that you're going to be sitting there. And those of you who maybe have a bulging disc or a pinched nerve or a hurt shoulder or an ankle, whatever's going on, as I preach, I'm not going to call you out, but I believe that you're going to feel the Holy Spirit touch you. And I believe with all of my heart in Jesus' name that you're going to be healed. Can we get some amens on that? All right, well, that means that we're all in agreement and we can move forward. Man, I'm excited. So let's read this together real quick, and let's see what Jesus is doing. When Jesus came down, Matthew 8, verse 1. When Jesus came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said two of the most precious, amazing words I believe ever recorded in Scripture. "I will." He said, "I will." Then he looked at the leper and he said, "Be clean." And immediately his leprosy left him. And he was clean. And Jesus said, "Now don't go tell anybody. Just go show yourself to the priest. Give your offering that Moses commanded for a sign to them." And so right here in this moment, this leper was healed whenever Jesus said, "I will." So the title of today's message is two very short, simple words. He will. If you're taking notes, he will. See, when we read the just few scriptures here, we see some character of Jesus. And we see his will, we see the way he operates, and there's a few truths in this that we need to bring out before we move on. And one of those truths are leprosy. In case you didn't know, leprosy was a very, very bad disease. It was a skin disease that your skin started to die, your nose would rot off, your ears would rot off, your fingers would rot off. It'd be a really bad, obvious disease to have. Nobody wanted disease. And this leper was an outcast of society. He couldn't just walk around town and go into the store if he wanted to. He couldn't just sit around in the temple with everybody else. He was an outcast. And in fact, whenever he came in town, he would have to scream out, "Unclean, unclean." What kind of life would that be? I mean, he had this disease. So the fact that he approached Jesus and Jesus allowed him to approach him says something very significant about Jesus. He doesn't care whether society looks at you as an outcast. He doesn't care if the odds are against you. He's approachable. Jesus is always approachable. And as we go, as we see this story play out, he goes to Jesus, and he didn't know whether Jesus would heal him or not. He knew that he could, but he didn't know if he would. So he goes to Jesus and says, "Jesus, if you will, you can heal me." And so Jesus not only heals him, but he touches him and says, "I will be made whole," and he is clean. And the leprosy left him. So obviously Jesus is willing to meet you right where you're at. Jesus is willing to come in and heal you no matter what's going on, no matter what disease or no matter what the world is saying, he's willing to meet you. And here's my goal today, in this morning's service, is to discuss 5 reasons why most people don't believe that they can be healed. See, this leper didn't understand whether Jesus would. See, he came across going, "I'm an outcast." He came across, "I'm unclean. I don't deserve this. I'm unworthy." And today, in the Christian church, we have a lot of Christians that are operating in sickness and in disease, but they don't have to. And there are I'm not saying these are the only 5 hindrances or the only 5 things that Christians face, but these 5 things that I want to discuss today are 5 reasons why people don't think that they can be healed. Are y'all ready for this?
Yeah.
All right, so the first reason talking about today, it's a very common one. People don't feel their need is big enough. A lot of Christians don't feel like, "Oh, this is just a sprained ankle. Oh, it's just a pinched nerve. I can live with this pinched nerve. It's not that big of a deal." They don't feel like God is willing to come down on their level. God's too busy healing those with cancer. God's too busy doing the big miracles, but my little bitty need right now is just not big enough. And I've been there. I've had certain things wrong with me and going, "I can live with this. It's not that big of a deal." Anybody else been there? I've been there saying, "It's just, I know that God can heal me of this, but I really don't think he's going to because it's not a life or death situation." But let's turn over to 2 Kings real quick. There's a man of God in 2 Kings who I absolutely love. His name is Elisha. And here in chapter 6, 2 Kings chapter 6, we see the story unfold. And in this, Elisha was the man of God. He was God's voice here on this earth at this time period. And in this story, we see Elisha operating in God's will. He's the one that is going around and doing the work of the ministry here on this earth. This story, in my opinion, is actually kind of a funny story. Let's read it together. Chapter 6, verse 1. It says, "The sons of the prophets said to Elisha, 'See, the place where we dwell under your charge is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan, and each of us get there a log, and let us make a place for us to dwell there.' And he answered, 'Go.' Then one of them said, 'Be pleased to go with your servants.' And he answered, 'I will go.'" Okay. Now, Elijah operating as God's voice saying, "Yes, I will go with you." And as he goes in, these sons of the prophets, they're running out of room. Man, wouldn't that be a good problem? There are just so many men of God around that we've got to spread out because we're just taking the place over. I would love that. That'd be a good problem to have. But there's so many prophets and sons of the prophets that they're going out and they're taking this new land. But verse 5, "But as one was felling a log," or falling a log, Jeff Maples, are you here? Oh, well, Jeff would have a lot in common with this guy. He was falling a log, and his axe fell into the water. And he cried out, "Alas, my Lord, it was borrowed." So get this picture in your head. A bunch of men are out cutting wood, as we did the other day. And imagine there being a stream, a river, running right at where we're cutting wood. And this guy had a borrowed axe. And this axe head fell into the water, and he starts freaking out. That wasn't my axe head. He goes to the prophet, says, that was borrowed, and I really don't have a whole lot of money. Just go buy this guy a new axe head. What am I going to do? And Elisha, he doesn't get all worked up about it. He doesn't all start freaking out and start having a panic attack. He just walks up to him and says, "Where did it fall?" And he showed him the place. He cut off a stick and threw it there, and then the metal, floated up to the top of the water. And he said, "Take it up." So he reached out his hand and he took it. Here's the thing. That axe head was not a life and death situation, was it? It was a very small detail. It wasn't that big of a deal. That guy, the worst thing that I could imagine, the guy that he borrowed the axe head from was kind of a jerk, and he would have told him, all right, now you owe me two axe heads. You know, how bad could this have been? He wasn't going to get his head chopped off. He wasn't going to die. But in his heart, he knew that this was a big deal to him. This was bothering him. And Elisha, operating under God's will, went to him and says, all right, we'll take care of this. But here's what we think. We think that our cough is just too small. But here's what I want to tell you. God is concerned about every little detail in your life. And he wants you to be healed. Oh, this it's just a corn on my foot. I'm just saying, if that thing is your axe head, God's willing to fix it. God is concerned about the little, small, intricate details about your life. And that miracle, and that was a miracle, was it not, that axe head floated up? Here's what I want to think. And I'm not saying this is the way a person should operate. But I would have told the guy, well, if it's that big of a deal, go down and get it. Can you not swim? I mean, in my mind, logic tells me, go get it. Now, I don't know the situation. I don't know what it would have been like. It might have been muddy. The water might have been running. I don't know. But God was willing to bring a miracle to a man that wasn't a life and death situation. And he brought this up. And Elisha was operating, again, under the will of God. So he was the voice of God for that moment. And so that shows us, obviously, that God is concerned about our little details. Here's the thing. People look at that. It was a miracle. It was something supernatural that happened. But it was small. And your cough just disappearing, that is a miracle. And God doesn't view miracles as big or small. Cancer is an axe head to him. That's what I'm trying to say here. Now, let me just stop beating around the bush. Cancer is an axe head. It's a very small thing. It's not hard for him. Somebody dying and being restored to life is an axe head. God doesn't view cancer and a tumor, a brain tumor, all these different things. He don't view these as the really big, really big problems. To him, they're all axe heads. And he doesn't look at your little bitty problem in your eyes and say, well, that's just too small. No, he says, that's a miracle that I want to perform. Because he has a concern for you. He has a love for you. He is you're his child. Amen? All right, here we go. Second reason. So many people refuse to receive a touch or a healing from God. It's because they feel unworthy. I've been there. You look at your past and go, I don't deserve a healed back. I don't deserve a healed shoulder. I don't deserve to walk in the blessings of God. If you look back over here at Matthew chapter 8, the story of the leper, if you keep reading, there's a centurion there. And we so many times operate like the centurion. And I'm not talking about his great faith. Now, that's awesome. He did have great faith, and Jesus marveled at it. But if you read it in chapter 8 of Matthew, verse 5, it says, when he had entered Capernaum, this after he healed the leper, and he said, I'll heal you, says, a centurion came to him, appealing to him, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. He said, and Jesus said to him, again, I will. He said, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy. I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. And he goes on, he talks about authority. Yeah, I understand authority. And the servant was healed because Jesus looked at him and said, well, he has great faith. And we always focus on that, but we forget the centurion missed out on Jesus coming to his house. Jesus, the guy who walked on water, could have just came and hung out with him at his house. But he says, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Now, we can obviously learn from his great faith and say, Jesus, just say the word, that's good. But Jesus doesn't view you as some wicked, evil person and wants to condemn you to hell. That's not what Christ wants. But that's how we often look at ourselves and we act like, my past is too bad of a past. I was a drunkard, I was a liar, I was an adulterer, I was whatever. And so whenever I get cancer, whenever I get these problems, I'm just reaping what I sowed a long time ago. People who before they were saved, whether it be smoking, whatever, and then they go off and they get lung cancer, and they're saying, oh, well, I just deserve this. I just deserve this. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Jesus doesn't look at you and see your sin. The Father doesn't look at you and see your sin. He looks at you and sees the blood of Jesus and says, you are redeemed, you are the righteous, and you can be healed. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians. This beautiful piece of scripture here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul is describing to the church how God views them, how God looks at them. Chapter 5, verse 16 says, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Is anybody excited about that this morning? He is a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. We've got to get past this, guys, where our sins of the past are hindering us from receiving a healing from God. Our sins from the past are hindering us from walking in the blessings of God. The Word says that God doesn't count our trespasses against us anymore, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Skip over to verse 21, says, for our sake he made himself to be sin. Well, that's the foundation right there. Christ Jesus became sin, but he knew no sin, so that in him we, who were sinners, might become the righteousness of God. Church, when God sees you, he doesn't see somebody who's addicted to drugs. When he sees you, he doesn't see somebody who was just some party animal, who was rebellious, who is full of pride, whatever. He sees the blood of Jesus, and he sees you as righteous. And we've got to come past this thought of, God's not going to heal me because I'm not worthy. The centurion missed out. Obviously, he had a lot of faith, and the man was healed. But he missed out on Jesus coming to his house because he felt unworthy. And I understand you by yourself, you're not worthy. In and of ourselves, we're unrighteous. But this scripture right here tells us that Christ reconciled us to the Father. When Father God sees you now, he sees a daughter. When Father God sees you now, he sees a son. The Word tells us that we can approach him and call him daddy. We can call him dad. We don't just have to Almighty God who is far and distant from us, but we can say Father God who embraces us and surrounds us. We've been reconciled to him. The Word tells us that a wicked, evil father knows how to give good gifts. And I've seen it. I've seen some people who I'm like, you are crazy. But they know how to bless their children. They know how to give good gifts to their children. And God, who is a righteous father, who is a good father, who is a holy father, how much more does he want to give the good gifts to you? How much more does when he sees you hurting, does he not want to give you healing? I got to tell a story real quick. And sometimes stories help us with our faith. That sometimes we feel unworthy. We feel like our problem isn't big enough. Ashlyn and I, when we were dating, we went to Walkabout. There in Nixa. I love that place, and I don't think church is a good platform to brag on a business. That place is a good godly. The ownership there it's a coffee shop, and those people there are very godly. They are awesome. And we were doing a Bible study there at Walkabout, and we weren't even doing a Bible study on healing. We were just reading scripture. And then on the way back, I used to have problems with my knees pretty bad. I know I'm a young guy. I shouldn't have had problems with my knees, but believe it or not, I used to do a lot of running. You can't really tell it anymore, but I used to do a lot of running, and I used to do a lot of bleachers and things like that, and I guess it just kind of tore my knees up. And so my knees, especially in cold weather, they would hurt like an old person. I used to hear my dad talk about stuff like that. I'm like, I'm way too young for this. But my knees would be hurting really bad, and it was during the winter, and we're driving home, and I didn't even pray, God, heal me. I didn't do any. I just thought, man, I would really like for my knees to not be hurting right now. And I'm telling you, and we even pulled over because of I just felt the presence of God, and my knees started just burning. Like, they were hot. And this wasn't just an excuse to try to get Ashlyn to touch my leg or anything. I was like, Ashlyn, feel my knee. and she touched my knee, and she said to the touch, she could feel how it was really hot. And all of a sudden, that pain just miraculously disappeared. And it was just because I thought, man, I really don't want this pain in my knees anymore. Now, I wasn't going to die because of my hurt knees. It wasn't some huge thing that was going to change the course of my life. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know how it would have ended up, but it didn't seem like that big of a deal to me. And I remember just thinking, man, I would really like for this not to be here anymore. And God met me, and he touched me right there, and he said, I will. I will heal you. And God, I don't care what small, intricate thing or you, what you think in your eyes is small, he wants to bless you. You are not too unworthy or that your need isn't too small for him to touch and for you to be healed. All right, moving on. A reason why so many Christians don't receive a healing is because they've been taught wrong, because of false teaching. And this one is rampant in America. It is all over the place. There are obviously some, praise God for them, of churches that teach on healing and things like that. But a lot of churches say that healing quit with the apostles. Healing's done with. That was an act of the church a long, long time ago, and it's not for us today. And a lot of times it's hard for a Christian who is under this teaching for so long to receive a healing. Did anybody happen to grow up in a church that said healing wasn't for you today? A few of y'all? Sometimes it's hard to receive from God when you've been under that teaching, isn't it? It's hard to receive your miracle when you've been told your whole life it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Whenever spiritual leaders tell you it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. It's hard to receive that. But that is a bondage that we've got to break, the bondage of false teaching. In John chapter 17, I love this chapter. It's the longest recorded prayer of Jesus. In John chapter 17, we call it the high priestly prayer. And Jesus is praying for his disciples. And in verses 20 through 24, here's what he says. He says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. He's saying, Father God, I'm not asking just for the disciples, just for John and Mark and Peter, James. I'm not asking just those guys, but everyone who will believe in me by their word. Is that you? We believe in God because of his word, because of the words of the apostles, don't we? Okay, he's praying for you. 2,000 years ago, the Son of God was praying for you. 2,000 years ago, he was calling out Seth in his mind. He was calling out us today because he knew that we would believe in their word. It says that they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I'm in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me.
Well, the miracle stopped 2,000 years ago with the apostles.
Well, according to Jesus, he's praying that we can still experience the things that they experienced. If salvation didn't end with them, why would healing end with them? Salvation is still for us today, isn't it? Well, so is healing. The Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 13, 8 and 9 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And then verse 9 says, do not be led away by diverse and strange teaching. And so church, CMC, if anyone ever comes to you and says, healing's not for you today, let Hebrews rise up in your heart and say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And the word tells me not to be led away by diverse and strange teaching. And if that's what they're teaching you, that's what they're saying, that's diverse and strange teaching. Do not be led astray by that. He said to the leper 2,000 years ago, I will. I'll heal you. And he's telling us today, I'm the same as I was. That very day when I cleanse the leper, I will heal you. I will come to you and I will meet your need. Christians don't realize that they have authority to speak over them. That's our next reason why so many don't receive healing. They don't believe, they don't realize that they have the authority in Christ. They've been reconciled to God the Father, that they have authority to speak over their own lives, themselves. Real quick, let's turn to Matthew chapter 16. We were teaching in the LA,
one of the LA classes we've been teaching on this chapter. And Jesus is speaking to the disciples. He was teaching about his church. He was speaking about the cross that he was about to have to carry. And as he's talking to Peter, he says, "Peter, who do you say that I am?" He says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So Peter had this revelation, and Jesus says, "On this revelation I will build my church. Upon this rock I will build my church." And here's what he says here. Look at chapter 16, verse 18. It says, "I tell you, you are Peter. And on this rock," talking about the revelation of who Christ is, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Verse 19, "I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now, this scripture has been twisted, and people will say Peter is the only one that Jesus is talking about here, that he literally gave keys to Peter and said, "These are the keys to the heaven." And so whenever you hear those, a lot of jokes about heaven, you'll hear, "Oh, St. Peter was at the gate." Well, that's where they believe that St. Peter's job in heaven is he's going to be sitting there at the gate, unlocking it, letting people in, closing it back, closing the gate back and locking it. That's not what Jesus is talking about here, guys. He's not talking about, "Here are the keys, you open the gate and let people in, or and if they're not on the list, send him away." He's not Jesus's bouncer, all right? What he's saying here is, under this revelation that you believe that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, you are now in the kingdom, and with authority I give you keys to the kingdom. You are now an heir. It's like you have your own little private fenced in area and hunting land. Anybody have any hunting land that you're privileged to get to hunt on that land? And nobody else should have those keys but you, right? You're not the owner, but you have the keys to get in the gate where I can go hunt on that land. Kind of the same way with the kingdom of heaven. We may not be the owner of the kingdom of heaven, but we've been given the keys. We have access to go in the gate, amen? And you now have authority with those keys, and you have authority in the kingdom of heaven. You don't have to just wait around for God to do everything anymore. But now I give you authority, is what he's telling Peter. I give my people authority. And he says, whatever you bind on this earth will be bound in heaven. Do we believe the promises of God? Whatever you loosen on this earth will be loosed in heaven. What does that even mean? That can be a real confusing scripture. What that's saying is, just give you an example. Ashlyn and I, every night as we go to bed, "Father God, right now we bind sickness. We bind disease from this house. It is not welcome. This house will be a house of healing. This place will be a place of prophecy. This place will be a place where people are saved and brought into the kingdom." We speak over our house. What we're doing is we're binding and loosening. We're loosening healing. There's healing here. We're binding colds. We're binding the sniffles. We're binding it all. We don't want any of it. No sickness is allowed in our house. So we bind that, and we know we stand on authority of the word of God and says, what we bind on earth is bound in heaven. And what we loosen on earth, we loosen in heaven. So church, and this goes way further than just healing. This can go on your children. This can go on your marriage. This can go on your finances. We need some believers that's taking authority in Christ, and they're binding things and they're loosening things. Somebody receive your healing in Jesus' name. See, we are binding the thoughts of "I'm not worthy." We're binding the thoughts of "this need is too small." We're binding the thoughts of "God doesn't do that anymore." And we're loosening healing through the word of Jesus Christ. Let's look at this leper again. Whenever the leper approached Jesus, he didn't have great faith. The centurion had great faith. The leper didn't. The leper came down and says, "Jesus, if you will, you can heal me." Now, let's take this, dissect it, and look at it. He goes in and says, "I will." And then he was healed. Well, how did the healing take place then? He had little faith, so he approached God with his little faith. He says, "God, if you..." Now, praise God, we don't have to beg. We don't have to beg. We don't have to beg a hole or pray a hole through the roof to receive the blessings of God. But his faith wasn't that great. And I've literally heard preachers say, "Well, if you just don't have enough faith, you're just not going to get it. You're just not going to get it." Well, his faith wasn't where it needed to be, but check this out. He was in the presence of God, and he heard the word of God. And whenever he heard the word of God, that seed of faith was planted in him, and it grew because I can stand on the word of God, and he was healed. So today, you may be saying, "I'm just not sure I can be healed. I'm just not sure I can be healed." Well, just like the leper, I'm speaking the word of God over you.
and let your faith rise up inside of you and be healed in Jesus' name. That's good. If you're not going to amen it, I am. That was good stuff. Preaching here. You have the authority. Jesus Christ is greater. The word tells us that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Is sickness a part of heaven? Is disease a part of heaven? Then is it of God? Well, God is in me. Sickness and disease is of the world, and I'm greater than that now. So I'm going to speak against that. I'm not going to look at this thing and be scared of sickness. I'm not going to be scared of disease. What happens is something does happen. Oh, I got a hurt hip. We start getting, it's going to be bad. Oh, I don't want to have to wake up in the morning. It's going to hurt real bad. We go to the doctor. We start getting scared of bad news. Christians don't have to be scared of bad news because we are greater than that. We are greater because of our faith and because of what Christ did in us. We're greater than the bad news. We're greater than disease. He that is in us is greater. And we can rebuke those things and speak over those things. You have authority. Christ said that you are a priest, of a royal priesthood. You are kings and rulers on this earth through God. And we have authority over these things that we can bind and we can loosen. All right, let's move on. So many Christians, and this is all over the place, don't believe God's going to heal them because it's not in God's will. It's just if. Have you ever heard, well, so-and-so got cancer. God, if it's your will, heal him. Well, if that's your mindset, don't pray for me. All right? I've heard people say, God, if it's your will, heal him. Heal him. I guess it's your will to see a miracle. Of course that's God's will to bless his people. But so many believe that it's just not going to happen if it's not God's will. Look at Job. God brought sickness on Job. No, he did not. Who brought sickness on Job? The enemy. Satan brought the sickness on Job. God doesn't put sickness on people. Now, if you are operating outside of the covenant and sickness comes, his protection may not be on you. But God doesn't produce what's not inside of him. God does not have an ounce of sickness or disease in him. God speaks what he can produce. He doesn't produce disease and sickness on the Christian lifestyle. It doesn't happen. He came to give Job life. It was the enemy that came and stole, right? It was the enemy that killed and destroyed and brought calamity. It is never Christ. It is never God who brought the disease. Now, you can know with 100% assurance that Jesus did only what the Father told him to do. Do we all agree on that? And this argument doesn't even make sense to me, in my opinion, where preachers try to tell you, well, it's just God's will for some people to get cancer and die. Okay, Jesus operated in God's will, the Father's will. He said that I don't do anything unless the Father told me to do it. I do nothing on my own authority, but in the authority of the one who sent me. Did Jesus ever refuse a healing in Scripture? You cannot find it. Jesus never refused a healing from anyone. And if he never refused a healing from someone, why would we think that it was the Father's will for not all of them to be healed? Whenever the leper came, when the blind man hollered out, whenever the woman with the issue of blood, she crawled and she finally got to Jesus, Jesus didn't refuse her. He healed her. Yet we still believe that God's going to refuse his people today. Well, do we believe that God never changes, that he's the same today, yesterday, and forever? Jesus will not, you know that song, oh Lord, use me, please don't refuse me. How's that song go? Oh Lord, use me, please don't refuse me. Let me tell you something, God's not going to refuse you if you're a child of God. And you come to him with your need, you come to him with authority, you can believe that I can have what I ask for. The Bible says where two or more are gathered together, there I am in the midst of them. The word of God says that two can bind, where one can send thousands to flight, two can send tens of thousands to flight. We need some husbands and wives getting together in agreement and in the spirit of the Lord and do some binding and some loosing. And well, you've got to know today, you are not unworthy in God's eyes. Your need is not too small. Bulging disc. Somebody got a bulging disc in here? Be healed in Jesus' name. be healed in Jesus' name. That's not too big of an issue. Eczema, not too big of an issue, can be healed in Jesus' name. These issues are if they're big in your eyes, they're big in God's eyes. He wants you healed. You have authority. False teaching isn't allowed. So church, if you would stand with me. I believe with all of my heart that God is the healing God. And he's here today saying, I will. Another thing I see in Scripture, there are some that didn't get healed in Scripture. But it's not because they came to Jesus. Everyone who didn't get healed, let me tell you what happened. They didn't come to Jesus. Every single time you read throughout the Gospels, we've got to start living like the Gospels. We've got to start living like the book of Acts. We've got to start living like the Word of God shows us to live. Amen? And here's what I see. People who didn't come to Jesus weren't healed. But people who came to Jesus were healed. So here's what I ask. I'm not asking everybody to come forward. If you want to, you can. But if you need a healing right now, would you come to Jesus by just lifting your hands? And we're going to speak healing over you. And I believe with my whole heart, whether it is a disease that you've had since you've been born, whether it is a disease that you've just heard about, whether it is a sprained ankle that's giving you fits, or it's a shoulder problem, whatever it may be, you're going to be healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Josh isn't going to heal you. The power of God is going to heal you. Church, let's pray together right now. No. Let's do something different. While those hands are raised, put your hand on somebody who has their hands up raised. It's time to operate as a church. The Bible says, if those are sick or suffering among you, have the elders lay their hands on them. So let's lay our hands on each other and let's speak healing over them. And in Jesus' name, it's going to happen. And praise God for it. God, right now, all across this place, we praise you. We honor you. We rebuke sickness. We rebuke disease. We rebuke back pain. Right now, the man with a pinched nerve, that nerve is healed in Jesus' name. Lord God, right now, in Jesus' name, every disease and every sickness, every calamity that is outside of the covenant, we bind. And your word says what we bind on earth is bound in heaven. So right now, we know and we have authority that this thing is bound and can no longer stay. We loosen healing in Jesus' name, and it's going to take place all across this place. In Jesus' name, everybody in here speaking the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, we loosen our faith, we encourage one another, and we speak that they are healed in Jesus' holy name, because you are the healer. And all across this place, everybody said, amen. You're dismissed, church.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.